powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, 2 Peter 2, verse 6. 2 Peter 2, verse 6. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is to believers what John 3:16 is to unbelievers. It is critical, it is essential that believers stay on top of their mental attitude and judge themselves and rebound through the day. And at this time, to be sure that you are in fellowship, we are dealing with God's word and that which he has put down in his word and that which he will absolutely validate in every way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves together in obedience to the command, the royal command, to grow in grace and in knowledge. Bless our efforts this evening and our understanding in these matters, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the examples given here with regard to past judgments of God, notable past judgments of God, is the background for how God is going to deal with the current false teachers that seek to corrupt good Christians who have doctrine, and they've done a good job because all of this stuff is spread everywhere. And the same kind of denial of the truth with regard to even the Lord and the details related to his person. Paul talks about preaching another Jesus. If you don't have the content right, you're not representing the person right. And I'm not talking about you don't know a detail or two. We can always do that. But I'm talking about the injection of false information with regard to the person of Jesus Christ. And I just saw a news thing today on some god-awful stuff beyond comprehension that what you would expect it. But it is even worse than normal coming out of the mouth of the current Pope in Rome with regard to Christ and Satan. It's staggering. Jesus was a failure, the historical Jesus. And on he went. I can't even stand to look at him. And these people all around kissing his hand and treating him like a deity. That organization's going to go down. God's going to take it down, and he's going to use, ironically, the Antichrist. So, we had the first example. Well, we had one example. The two are coterminous. The judgment on the angels that participated in the Genesis 6 episode and their confinement to the underworld. The second example, of course, is the generation of the flood. And what is the marquee sin that's brought out there? The normalization and glorification of violence. We see that in the world today, that people are glorified by violence. We don't have the extreme of the gladiators, perhaps, but we have a bunch of idiots beating on each other in a ring. Championship wrestling? And all these people flocking out to this, both for men and women. And so there is a glorification of violence in the flood generation. That's what I got from this. Sure, there are all these other sins, but that was the thing with these giants, with these Nephilim. And so God took out the entire world minus 8 believers. 8 were on that ark, after Noah had preached for 120 years, and he did, well, using it in a human way, he didn't have much to show for it. Oh, he had a lot to show for it. He did his job. He had eight people that lined up with it and got on that ark and came over to the other side and started the post-diluvian civilization that we are now way deep into. Another civilization is going to come on the scene worldwide, and that's called the millennium. And to get there, these false teachers and promulgators of this mess, they're teaching it in pulpits, they're teaching it in colleges, in schools, politicians are promoting it. Sexual perversion. Beyond anything I thought we'd get to hit in our history. Condoning it. Glorifying it. Towns like our own city, allowing these parades. So, that brings us to the Sodom and Gomorrah scene. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. All the physical evidence is over there in the Dead Sea. All of it. As I pointed out in the preceding points here in verse 6, the evidence is all there. Right down to those little sulfur balls, of which I am pleased to have had, God bless me, somebody from the church ran it down online and purchased it for me. You won't find any pressed ball with sulfur and magnesium in it in the natural world. You will not. And this is what reduced these things. And notice the language. It says it reduced them to ashes. And these were strong, built cities. These weren't ricky-dick forts with wood around them. These were solid, out of mortar, built to last. And the heat was so intense, it reduced them to ashes. And in the points that I gave you, I pointed out some of the discoveries that have been made down there, but like so much in our world, this knowledge is suppressed. It isn't brought out in the open. But you know what? It's still an example to any nation that goes down this path. Now, there have been peoples and nations, groups of people, because of their particular brand of perversion, they have become extinct. There's a verse in a psalm. Whole nations have become extinct at His hand. He is the Lord over the nations. And all that's going on today is being brought to this perfect conclusion. Don't ever be upset by all of it that's out there. There's all these people saying, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Relax. God's got it. And He's got you, and He'll take care of you through it all. Whatever we have to go through yet. Okay. Point 26. These cities of the plain had experienced a close call when they were invaded and plundered of wealth and people by a coalition from the east. He brought, these nations, the Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, they were, particularly Sodom and Gomorrah, they're the two big ones. They were very wealthy. But the vice that got him in trouble was homosexuality. And there are people out here today that are saying this is A-okay and claim to be Christians. I had someone call me on the phone years ago and say, is that word even in the Bible? I said, blank, yes it is. I'll get down the Greek. Classical, I got one. the classical Greek lexicon, and I'll give you the term. It's also in Corinthians. I'm surprised you'd even have to ask this. The normalization, or the attempt to normalize, perversion. That was what, and when you read in the Genesis area, you will see this, and we'll get more on it coming up. So, they got a wake-up call. Guess what that was? The kings of the East. There's a list of these men. We know who they are. They came in there, and they plundered the city. They drug all the people off to take them and make them slaves to the East. They took all their wealth. And when they got, and in their first encampment on their way back home, they got hit by Abraham and 300, if I got the figure wrong, I'm close, 319 men. He took his whole male organization. He came upon them at night. They were many thousands of people. He came upon them at night. They made one hell of a lot of noise, like that battle that you can read about with Gideon in the Bible, where they went in there and they were breaking these things and hit them at night. And once the panic sets in, you ever see a mob of people, group of people hit panic button in some kind of a get together with a bunch of people? People can scream fire, a gun can go off. And I mean, it is pandemonium. People don't care. They're trampling each other because they don't want to get killed or whatever it is. This is what happened to these soldiers and these leaders. And they just left everything. Of course, God is with Abraham and this handful of people comparatively. 319. You don't need to have the same number to have success. You have to have God on your side. That's what you got to have. God fought for them. So what all went down that day, Abraham and his men did this to save his nephew Lot. Not to get the wealth. Not for any other reason. And you can read the story of this. Apparently, they had reneged on the tribute they were paying to King Chedorlaomer. He's the leader of the group, and allies. 28, Abraham conducted a nighttime raid that freed the people, including his nephew Lot. 29, this event was a warning discipline to the people of these cities, but they did not take it to heart and continued to practice unrestrained and violent homosexuality on a scale unheard of in the region. Genesis 13:13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. I mean, they took it to a level. And the authorities allowed them to run amok. No male, regardless of the age, was safe in the streets of Sodom and Gomorrah after dark. During the daytime, they made money. They were rich. Compare 18:20. People were being abused, raped. You might say innocent people. You wouldn't want your male child out there and parents and things like this with this type of a mob of these type of... It says here, and the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. In language of accommodation, for divine omniscience. I'm going to go down there and see if it's all I've heard. This language of accommodation when dealing with deity. He already knows. But using it in a human sense, I'm going to do a thorough investigation. Because when the punishment comes, it's got to meet the crime. It can't be excessive. It's got to be right, spot on. 19:1-8. So Lot, and this is the second deliverance for Lot by his great uncle Abraham. Notice Abraham. See, these two angels and the Lord came to Abraham's tent, informed them that they were going to have a child next year, the miracle baby. And the Lord's talking to his two friends, we'll call it that, the two angels. This is to bring Abraham into the loop. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abram what I'm about to do?" It's a question. "Since surely Abraham will become a great and mighty nation." Here's Abraham standing there. He doesn't have one son. "He'll become a great and mighty nation. And in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because he will have a descendant named Jesus Christ. And all nations will be blessed because of Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham. For I've chosen him, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, fair play, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And then the Lord said, "The outcry. And I'm going to go down, I'm going to check it out. And if they've been doing what's according to the outcry..." We're talking about people in Sodom and Gomorrah that are absolutely terrified by these gangs of homosexual males. How about in our country where we let different people run amok and burn and loot and pillage? Okay, it wasn't in our city, but it's in some of these other cities that's gone on. We could shut that down so damn fast it isn't even funny. But the leaders won't do it. That vice president candidate running with the female wanting to be president in his town. They burned the neighborhoods down and stuff. Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff. And there's Haitians in town in Iowa. And we sit there? It's planned. It has to be. You can't be that stupid. We could shut it down bring in National Guard, you know, and shoot them on sight. End it. As long as they can get by with it, they'll just keep doing it. "Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, and Abraham was standing before the Lord." So the two angels, they head to Sodom, and the Lord standing before Abraham. And the Lord intercedes, as you read the rest of this, for his nephew Lot. He knows he's down there. And the line from the movie, "The Outlaw Josie Wales," hell has just come to breakfast. That was one of my favorite westerns of all time. The characters in it, the different ones in it. I could watch that over and over again. The funny Indian chief, you know, the elderly Indian chief, he said that to the young squaw that Josie Wales liberated from some men that were about to rape her. Some of those were real good. Okay, I'm off subject. There's something I can recommend in the entertainment world. And He said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within a city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? And he goes on and breaks this all down. And the Lord said, if I find 50, I'll spare the whole place because of them. And then Abraham says, okay, please, bear with me. I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am just but dust and ashes. Suppose they're lacking 5. And he goes all the way through this. Suppose there are 40. And he says, Lord, do not be angry. I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there. I will do it if I find 30. Then he said, behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20. Okay, 20. Gets all the way down to 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. But the angels already had instructions. Get Lot out of there. More on Lot coming up. We're going to profile Lot. I want you to understand Lot, or what made him tick, and how he could be called righteous Lot. Almost sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't. For the evidence that this civilization was destroyed specifically for the practice of this abnormal sexual perversion, see Genesis 19, 1 through 8 and Jude 1, 7, which reads, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these, here's how they refer to this type of person, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. They're unbelievers to boot. And then they get their historical judgment. They get wiped out. There's normal perversion, man, woman, and then everything else is abnormal perversion. Male, male, human, animal, on and on. It's all in the Old Testament. And it was all condemned as out of line. So I know there are others, but I am a voice crying in the wilderness. A lone voice, more and more down the road with regard to these doctrines. I hope there's others out there. I just haven't run across them. Yes, there are others out here that'll teach this as out of line. But these big churches, you're going to get up there and condemn this? When a couple parents have a son that's one of them? They'll separate from him? Have nothing to do with him? Or a boy that says he's a girl? In the Scientific American, this is supposed to be a science book, right? Magazine. In the Scientific American, it says it's all right for women to play, for males to play with women in sports. They'll kill them. I don't care what the sport is. And I heard some teams, I think it was soccer, they knew that the other team coming to play against them had males on it. They wouldn't play the game. Good for them. There's some character once in a while out there. But what about the team that comes over that lets males get in there and play soccer with the women on the team against women? Men are stronger, faster, blah, blah, blah. It's the way we're made. All things being equal. When I read it, I was real pleased that they would forfeit a game. Because they don't want those girls getting hurt and making a joke out of the game. One-sided affair. We can't get that right. They don't want to. It's another mark against us. Peter's description of the judgment that dramatically and suddenly slammed that society into a brick wall, 1 hour or one day, to turn a phrase, begins with the aorist participle, by reducing them to ashes. Tephrao. The verb is used by Dio Cassius of the destruction of Pompeii and Herculaneum in 79 AD by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. I see a lot of stuff online about what they find under all these ashes. It's quite amazing. It's preserved. But there wasn't anything preserved in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was ashes. They just got covered in ash, asphyxiated. There's people just laying here like this. It caught them at the table eating. So they must have been doing some bad stuff in those two cities too. For that volcano to blow and wipe out those two upscale cities, Roman cities. The next verb, condemned, is found in some manuscripts with the noun destruction, ruin. A translation, and reducing the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction. 35. This total destruction was brought on by God in order to impress upon succeeding generations that the vice of homosexuality will be punished or will not go unpunished. 36. In the extreme, whole societies are subject to annihilation. We've got them around the world. The Aztecs and Mayan, they were involved in child sacrifice. It's in the Old Testament. Child sacrifice to their bloody God to appease him. False teaching and resultant behavior, be it in Lot's day or Peter's day, Pompeii, or in our modern age, will not be tolerated beyond a point. They had convinced themselves that they had outgrown the old-fashioned morality, but in so doing, they made a final mistake. Sound familiar? The ecology of the Dead Sea region remains a constant reminder of what God thinks about this vice and the way it was manifested there, causing so much misery and pain in the average citizen. The outcry. The Dead Sea being the lowest point on earth and a place of death, absence of life, salt, ash, sulfur, and heat contribute an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. Virtually nothing grows there. By the way, that is changing. It's getting a revival. Slowly. That area will once again be verdant. It's not there yet. But the early forms of life. See, the Jordan comes down and dumps into this thing. The Jordan River. To the east of Jerusalem. If you're not familiar with these things, Bibles usually have some kind of a map. You can look it up online. So you can get your bearings. I don't know if they even teach geography anymore in school. Some of these people are all pro this. They don't even know where the place is. The shore of the Dead Sea is utterly desolate. No fish lives in its waters, as the salt content is 28%. The ancient Greeks reported poisonous gases rising from its surface. 45. Until recently, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and three sister cities were known only from the biblical record. Hence, critics labeled the story a legend. Well, of course they did, the dummies. It's no legend. This changed in 1975 when archaeologists excavating an ancient palace in Elba, Syria, uncovered 2,000 tablets. Of these, number 1860 mentioned the same five cities in the identical order given in Genesis 14, verse 8. Was that in National Geographic? Verifying the integrity of the historical record of the Bible, names, places, and so forth? No, because of what they are. They don't give it an objective view. But more and more of that has come out. Furthermore, the kings matched in that tablet. Moreover, the kings named matched those stated in the Bible. Like Chedorlaomer and the area he was over. The Bible is so historically correct it isn't even funny. Because it's inspired of God. You can't say that for our history books. They got things wrong here and there. the American Historical Association, they infiltrated it from the top. I saw an article on it. Because you can get professors that are bought and paid for. You darn well can. And they'll parrot whatever. They'll run around in a little circle. To get the truth, you have to go, yes, to original documents, not some other guy's history book. But my long-standing prayer with regard to all this, all of it, break it down. Bring it out in the open that they can't even continue to cover it up anymore. And this covers so many different topics. From weather modification, go back online and look what happened in Maui. That's not normal. It was a land grab. And a bunch of innocent Americans got destroyed. And their land taken. They're having this problem up in the Carolinas. Don't tell me they cannot modify the weather. They can modify it to make it good for people or the other way around. They can do the same thing and trigger earthquakes. Things aren't normal. They can scare the hell out of you with some virus and you take their poison and so many people are dying, it isn't even funny. Kennedy, that's out there, it's a politician, he's screaming and yelling about this. He told his mother, who died at age 96, married to Teddy Kennedy, who was assassinated, he told her, do not take that vaccine. She died of a heart condition at 96. It could have just been old age. I don't know if she actually took it or not. You'd think some of these people are smarter than that. You would think they would do some research and at the very least says, I'm going to just stay put. I'm not going to rush in. I saw another one, a real fit guy. He is in constant pain. It's also causing dementia. The onset of dementia. It's causing in women and other, it sterilizes them. These are the reports I've read. And I got a list of medical guys that are up there saying this. This isn't just some YouTuber. And I'll probably get kicked off YouTube for this. Well, go to hell. But believe in Christ first. Maybe you won't. You have half a brain. Don't take these things. I never thought it made any sense to inject flu virus in my body. I never thought it made any sense. So I would be resistant to it? Forever? No. Every year you got to have it. They're free over here. And I've never had the flu. And I'd rather have the flu under normal conditions and weather it out than to go out there and put it in my body. Because I've had a number of people tell me, Jack, I've never been so sick. One was a real fit young girl. Well, they try to push it on me when I was in the hospital too. You want a pneumonia shot, sir? Only if I want to get pneumonia. That was my response. The nurse said, oh, okay. They were walking off. I heard there was a report of a country, I think it was Scotland, that they were thinking about putting people in jail that wouldn't take the shots. Well, they just put me in jail. For example, the tablet states that the king of Gomorrah at the time was a man named Birsha, the exact name recorded in Genesis 14:2. So you see, this wasn't a legend. Independent verification. The U.S. will be destroyed in a fiery cataclysm of a different sort that is comparable to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Isaiah 13. How come these people, if we do get banned from YouTube, guess what? We get our audio up real quick for those that are out there like Beth and Barney and Lori's mother, Cheryl, they can get it just like that. It's up. They'll text me and tell me, I got it, Jack, within 20 minutes, I got the class. I said, good for you. This is your lifeline in the last days. Isaiah 13, pay attention here, get that. 13:19, and Babylon, this is America. This isn't the Babylon of old, because, here's my point, the Babylon of old wasn't destroyed by the Medes shooting arrows at it and burned to the ground, leaving no inhabitants left. We know how it was taken down. You just read the book of Daniel. They just snuck into the royal party hall and did the leaders in after Daniel explained the handwriting on the wall and walked out. Everybody knows, all historians know, that they diverted the Euphrates and they snuck in a commando team and went into that party house and decapitated him. And got up the next morning and said, you're ruled by Persians today. Go about your business. Be like, one day we wake up, we have all new leaders. Isaiah 13:19. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride. All right, here we have it, gang. Code. Who were the founders of the Babylonian Empire? The primary groups. There were three groups. Well, the primary group was the Chaldeans. Chaldean is code for who founded and started this country. Anglo-Saxons. White guys and women from England. The 13 colonies. Will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, with regard to the United States, it will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there. See, once the old Babylon went down and eventually declined into Nothingsville, after the Persians and down the road, it became a place where Arab would go in there. It's an archaeological place, the old Babylon. Nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there, but desert creatures will lie down there. And their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will also live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers, and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her fateful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. So what will be in the United States? Animals. It'll be a big zoo. Millennial zoo. Overgrown, nobody to care for it, and not one person can walk in here and do any exploration and sightseeing. From shore to shore, from the Pacific to the Atlantic, it will be under a ban as making this ultimate statement. It's bad enough, it's wiped out, and everybody's gone, but nobody can come back here and redevelop civilization. The land is going to be perfectly good. The Lord's going to clean up all the pollution on the earth for the millennium. He's going to get all the pollution out of here, nuclear and whatever other kinds. Isaiah 50, verse 40. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, declares the Lord, no man will live there, nor will any son of man reside in it. You can't say that about the Sodom and Gomorrah of Abraham's day. You can't say that. They got big, nice hotels lining that shore down there on the west side. Big ones. Spas. Mineral baths. Harvesting stuff. And then it's going to be restored in the millennium and be back to what it was as a very prosperous area for growing plants, crops. But not the United States. It's going to be cut off. Nobody can come here. You say, can I even come in my resurrection body? Would you even want to? Now you can see why this doctrine isn't taught by those people who claim and are people who believe in the rapture, tribulation, second advent, and all the rest of it. What do they do with these chapters? They can't say it refers to Sodom and Gomorrah. One guy said, well, I think ancient Iraq will be revived. Oh, come on. That doesn't fit. This country is unique in that it is a country based on historical immigration from the nations. It dwells in the midst of the seas, Atlantic, Pacific, and Caribbean. You just follow the clues. Revelation 18, 17 deals with that monstrosity called the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation 18, 10. Standing at a distance, this is the kings of the earth, because of the fear of her torment. Nuclear contamination would produce fear, saying, woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. This is an actual six in 1 hour of one day. And 17, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, notice they're at a distance. They're distancing themselves. A normal fire you wouldn't do that with. And for the final time in verse 19, they threw dust on their heads, crying out, weeping and saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Now you wouldn't expect when this book of Revelation was written that they'd put the word America in there, would you? We would have never named it that. Or United States or something. This is long before it ever came into existence. So it's in, and this is a legitimate way to communicate information in certain contexts. Code. Connect up the code and break the code and you got the secrets. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.